here with Brock Huard in his long-awaited return to the News Tribune blog. Brock, what have you been able to see from the Arizona Cardinals under Ken Wiesenhunt that they weren't under Denny Green?
What I've seen and what I've heard, two things. Probably number one, the most relevant, is my good friend Jeremy Urban, who Seahawks fans are familiar with, went from here to Dallas and then was the last cut in Dallas this year and immediately got picked up in Arizona. And I've chatted with Jeremy a few times, and he says from a talent standpoint, Arizona's not where Dallas was, not even close, and not where Seattle is either. But they certainly have a lot of leadership. Edgerrin James, the new coaching staff, Matt Leinart, they've got some guys that maybe Arizona didn't have 5 years ago, some guys that are accountable and stepping to the plate. And then watching them Monday night, I was really impressed with how physical they played. Now, that was a windy, really windy night. I don't think many people watching that game understood how those winds were blowing and affecting the throwing in that game for both quarterbacks. And I thought on both sides of the ball, Arizona was much more physical than I can remember. They blitzed a lot. They brought a lot of people. And then offensively, they played with a pad level that you haven't seen them play with in the past. So it's going to be a very physical game Sunday in their home opener.
Now go back to the talent level, because if you look at them, they certainly have names with Leinart, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, Edgerrin James, who you mentioned. In what other parts of the team are they missing the talent?
You know, when I was here, Frank, with the Seahawks, that was one thing was always said, oh, they're so talented. They've got Anthony Simmons and Sean Springs and Joey Galloway. And it's not, talent level is not just about individual athleticism, individual guys that are maybe freaks of nature. I think just overall talent is position by position and how that position then works into groups and how an offense and a defense and a special team. So I think it's much more of probably a broad swath. You're right, on an individual level, they got some very gifted athletes, especially at receiver. That's their most gifted area on the entire team. But gifted in athleticism doesn't always, as we've seen, and equate to wins.
You surprised that with the talent that they have at receivers, that they seem to have gone back more to the running game and trying to get Edgerrin James involved more?
No, not really. Not with who they brought in. And if you can remember this staff in Pittsburgh, in their style of play offensively, they will want to really pound that football. They'll want to establish that. And I think that will help Matt Leinart and help those receivers. I really do. I think it's, you know, you can throw for a lot of yards, and oftentimes you'll see, and I think the most misleading stat in football is quarterbacks passing yards. Well, you know, big deal. I threw for 4,000 yards. I was behind all game, and I got a lot of cheap yards, and I had, drives at the end of the game where I got 80 and 100 and 150. It doesn't mean anything. If they can have a balance.
Unless you're in fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't live in fantasy land, but as long as you can stay balanced, you know, that makes everything go. I mean, that was really the hidden gem in Indianapolis. Everyone thought it was all Peyton Manning and all throwing the ball. No. I mean, certainly he can do that well, but when that offense is going, it's getting that run because that establishes play action that stops the pass rush.
Well, and Wiesenhunt said yesterday during his media conference with Seattle reporters that he thinks that he put too much offense in the 11 days between the fourth preseason game and the season opener, and he's going to actually scale back the offense this week.
I think what that speaks to is probably the IQ of Matt Leinart. He felt like, even as a young guy, first year in the system, that he's a smart kid and he could handle all of that. But I think as much of anything, it is the winds and that weather that night. And Matt Leinart's not a guy with a terribly strong arm. And those winds were gusting really, really strong. So I'd expect them to come out and try to establish that same pad level, establish some play action pass. You're going to see a much more efficient passing game out of them at home. And it'll be a great challenge for the Seahawks.
What do you think about, especially in Arizona where they've had such a moribund history and they want to turn it around, and they had that game won.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason their defense just stopped playing the way it had mm-hmm. been playing the whole game. And it's like, okay, it's Arizona Cardinals again.
It's finding a way to lose instead of finding a way to win. And I thought it was really telling that stat they kept showing Monday night of the 9 coaches in Arizona history. Every one of them had lost their first game. And yet all the guy had to do was fall on the football in the end zone instead of falling on his knee. And they win. And I think you just have to is a player, and as much turnover as there is in this league with coaches and players, I think that says something there to the dysfunction of some of their management in the front office. I mean, that's the only thing you can really go back to. Now, I will tell you, and I did talk to Jeremy a couple times this week. He said it's really interesting on the plane right home that some of that leadership, and Edgerrin James was calling guys out, just saying, listen, you can't jump offsides. You can't fumble. Matt, you can't do all. You know, I think they tried to bring in people now. Russ Grimm is a no-nonsense guy up front. I think some of their hires recently and some of their additions have been very different from the status quo down there.
The funny thing about Russ Grimm is that I was living in D.C. when he was playing for the Redskins, and those guys were notorious for going out to his shed after practice and drinking beer. So it's funny that he's no-nonsense now.
Well, maybe no-nonsense during the hour and a half, two-hour practice, and who knows, maybe they're finding the local watering hole.
What do you think the Seahawks need to do to win this game? I mean, you already talked about they have more talent, and you know they've won what, three straight in the division. What do they need to do to go down there? They lost there last year.
I think I'll give you a breakdown, maybe a quick one here, offensively, defensively, and let you get back to watching practice. I think defensively they've got to try to make Arizona one-dimensional, just like we talked earlier about Arizona will want that run-pass mix to probably be 60-40 run-pass. Seattle's strength defensively is if they can make that a 40-60, you know, and really make them throw it so they can get that pass rushing group on the field and they can kind of turn the dogs loose like they did this last week. And then offensively, I think you've got to just start fast. You don't want to start the game in Arizona like you did at home. You don't want to have three and outs, and you want to just kind of take that crowd, much like Tampa Bay did last weekend, and that will help our defense. It will help them be more one-dimensional if you can get ahead and get that lead. So it's going to be a very, very tough environment, though. And last year, having lost down there and not taking care of some of the division games like they had, I think you've seen it this week at practice. Their attention to detail and focus will be extremely high heading down to Phoenix.
Welcome back to the blog.
There you go, guys.
Thanks, Brett.
You bet.